So what seems like years ago now, but it's been about a month, I think, we started with a little series of the Believer Among Enemies, RPSV, and recognition followed by petition. And we did the recognition part of that at that time. We started with Psalm 5. And but Psalm 5 is characteristic of all of the psalms that are of this sort. And so I'm going to turn there and we'll begin with prayer here. So let's open our session with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in the middle of the week. And pray. We thank you that we have this place to meet. We thank you for your promises to us as your people. We thank you for the sanctuary that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that you meet with us here. We do pray that you grant us refreshment in the Spirit this evening. In Christ's name, amen. So, in Psalm 5, we have the just kind of a typical situation for David. He says, I'm just going to read the first seven verses here. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." And he goes on. Part of the rest of this is what he quotes, what Paul quotes in Romans chapter 3. So there is a recognition of the presence of evil and its desire against the believer and its power and malignancy. And so we looked at that the last time. What I wanted to look at this time is the turning in the midst of that to prayer. So the believer has a real ability and necessary ability to recognize his situation in the midst of evil. As Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, we battle against spiritual forces. So we are in the midst of enemies at all times, whether it's within ourselves or outside of ourselves with the world and the forces of Satan that would seek to do us in, or within ourselves. And there is a recognition of that the believer has, that comes to him more or less forcefully. What do we do when that recognition is there for us? And the recognition, of course, is step one and is very, very important. But what we see, especially here in Psalm 5, is that the fact of recognition immediately becomes prayer. It's as if there is no gap whatsoever. It's not like, well, let me cogitate on this a while. Let me analyze this situation. Let me attempt to figure this out. Let me assess my situation, as Fagan says in David Copperfield. That's not the believer, or ought not to be the believer. Recognition becomes prayer. The believer, as he recognizes, he prays. That's where David is here. He's as he's seeing, he's saying. He sees and says. As he recognizes where he is, he cries out. So it's not as if I can, by stratagem, get out of my situation. So we recognize in some sense that prayer is the lifeblood of the believer. But so often, it's, you know, like our lifeblood is almost completely drained out, and then we pray. But that's certainly not the case for David here, nor should it be for us. The sense of need, the sense of danger, the sense of helplessness, really, just which is what it really is, becomes prayer. So in all the Psalms that I found, the spoken recognition comes as prayer. It is David essentially reciting to the Lord the situation that he's finding himself in. And that is not a sense, a hangdog sense, because there are times when, you know, he should be tearing his hair out, and instead his head is very much up. You know, Saul's about to kill him or whatever. His head is up. He's not hanging his head. And that's the key to it, is where am I looking first? You know, so often for us, we have to go through the, you know, three stages of grief, and then we look to the Lord. David doesn't do that, nor should we. We look to the Lord first, and there is a steadiness then in that case. We're recognizing the necessity of his intervention in an early phase of the situation. We're not paralyzed by the danger. The second thing that we need to note here is, how can that occur? Well, the believer, noted by the spoken outlook, if you will, of David here, recognizes that he is not alone, that God is there, and that God is for him in the gospel. And therefore, he turns quickly to the Lord. David is always saying, I'm in trouble, so I need to turn to the Lord. And his response is, you are my God, you are my refuge. And when we see refuge, we see salvation, we see the gospel. That is a first response. You know, it's very easy to say, what have I done wrong, or how can I get myself out of this? The first response to turn to the Lord is the right response. He will help me. The word help is or certainly should be right on the tip of our tongues as believers. So where does this quick response to turn to the Lord come from? It's a recognition of who He is for me. There's no reality to my worldview apart from God. So often we kind of go in and out of that. But in fact, to the extent that we are believers, He is there for me. He is my God. He has taken me as His child. He is my Father. And so the child in need, in general, runs to a parent, and so does or should the believer. So we have the first point, which is recognition becomes prayer. Secondly, the source of prayer is God Himself, who is there for me in the gospel. And then thirdly, the nature of that prayer then is you hear the cry in these psalms. It is earnest request. That's why I'm using the phrase "help me." The word "help" is not in the psalm, but certainly the sense of it is. I need you to intervene. Our prayer can become a little bit formal. We're a little theologically oriented, which is good, but prayer is not merely an activity. It is an engagement. In Hebrews 5:7, it says that the Lord Jesus cried with vehement cries. He prayed with vehement cries and was heard. That is the strong "help me" of the one running to a parent. I mean, we've all seen the little child who's, you know, scraped their knee or whatever. I remember when I cut and gashed a hole in the back of my leg as probably a six-year-old or something. I didn't stay there and cry in that field across the road. I ran home, cried to my mother, "Help me." The child knows where to go and how to express need. And at that point, it's not polite. It's just, "Help me." So prayer is a real engagement with expectation. It is urgent, but it's not panicky. Does that make sense? It's urgent, but it's not panicky. Why? Because of the one being applied to. We can have very dire situations, and God has it under control, so to speak. And so we go to Him strongly. And we put ourselves into His care in very difficult circumstances. So there is strong, engaged cries mingled with confidence It's a necessary mixture to go. When you have a broken family, if you ever as a kid played with kids whose parents unfortunately don't care very much, out on the playground, they could get hurt like I got hurt. I had to have stitches that one time. They just stay out there and hurt. They don't go home. They don't go crying to their mother because their mother doesn't really care that much. But the believer does. There is engagement, strong cries with confidence. So the believer, in recognition of danger, runs to the Lord, who not only knows, but is our refuge.